Okay, that's Ella Fitzgerald again. She would have, if she had stayed alive, she would have been 100 on Tuesday. One of the most fascinating books I have read in a long time is Pay to Play, subtitled, and here's what I'll grab you, My Odyssey from Multi-Millionaire Businessman to Prisoner Number 18099-424. He's not a prisoner anymore, but Mike Lewicki is in studio with me. Mike, this is some book. I mean, I don't know how you're supposed
Thank you.
That's not really a question, but it's like, this is some book. You were, and I remembered you, were big news some time ago. I mean,
front
helicopters
page.
Overhead, front page news. What'd you do?
As far as when I became front page news or what did I do?
Yeah. Oh. What'd you do to become front page news?
Well, I was named in a 12-count indictment along with my prior COO and the head of the Department of Natural Resources.
Yeah, you had
the city of Chicago.
A very successful landscaping business, and you were charged with bribing, you know, Millennial Park, getting making bribes to get Millennial Park contracts and a number of other contracts for other places. You pled guilty.
Yes.
You went to prison. Pay to Play is mostly, ladies and gentlemen, about prison, about how a guy in his late 40s coped with the unthinkable. I mean, you were a good kid. You're still a good guy. You were not, I'm going to say this with all due respect, you maybe weren't as smart as you should have been running your business. Is that a fair?
Absolutely.
You didn't pay attention.
Absolutely. I didn't know the Chicago, although I was born in Chicago, raised in Chicago. My brother and I started the business
as teenagers
in the suburbs.
Kind of.
Yeah,
cutting grass,
college.
Right?
In college.
Cutting
we
grass.
Had cut grass earlier just to earn extra money. And then in college, we started this business, and it basically thrived throughout the suburbs. And, you know, it just kind of it morphs from there, and you meet people that have work in the city. And actually, my co-defendant, the woman from the Department of Natural Resources, she actually applied for a job at our company. She came from Las Vegas. We actually turned her down.
Yeah.
And she called me.
You should have stayed away from her all the time. After turning her down, you should have said, I never want to. I don't care what your next job is. I don't want to talk to you.
And she had contacted us a short time later and said she had taken a job with the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
And the Chicago Park District. And wanted to know if I'd be interested in bidding some work. And
well, of course.
And I said, absolutely. It's a dream come true. I mean, being a Chicago guy, I mean, it was thrilling to be working in Grant Park and help build Millennial Park. You know, it was just, it was something you only dreamed of.
Yeah.
You know, being in our industry.
Where did it all go wrong?
Where did it all go wrong? I hired some bad people.
Exactly.
I hired some bad people, and at the same time, my brother had gotten sick.
Right.
And so I was going through a buyout with him, and we had a buy-sell agreement. It was all amicable.
Yeah.
As it started off, until you get the lawyers involved. You know, and I was just so busy tending to that in this growing business that had basically doubled. In a short period of time.
You had 100 people working for you, right? At least
we're up to 120 people. Wow. And about a year and a half earlier, that was 50 people.
Wow.
And we had a $12 million contract with the Chicago Park District.
Yeah.
And so it just requires a lot of, you know, a lot of oversight. And if you're not paying attention and you're trusting other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things can go haywire.
You pled guilty.
Yep.
And among the things was, you know, it's sort of with a trip to the Wisconsin Dells and then a lot of other things.
Yeah, there were gifts that I gave out and willingly. I had no idea.
I get the feel. I know you're not saying you're innocent, but I just get you were a little naive. I'm going to say this. You were a little naive. But you went to prison, for God's sake.
Absolutely. I never thought I would go to prison. And one of the things, here's the thing, is I was working at, you know, prior to the Park District in the city of Chicago, I was working for some of the largest contractors here in Chicago, road contractors. You know, you see their names all over on these cranes and that. And that was common practice. I mean, my brother and I were both hockey players. I had two seats, second row next to the penalty box in the old madhouse on Madison, and we gave them out. That's how we did business.
Sure.
Well, I had no idea when I crossed over to government work that that's not allowed.
Right. I totally, I mean, look at, you know, the Barbara Bird Bennett thing. This is, it's happened before. But when this happens to you, you have, you are living the American dream, and it, for a variety of reasons, turns into a nightmare almost overnight, right?
Yeah.
Where you are kind of, there are helicopters above, news helicopters above, they're front page news. You have a wife that you met in 1980. Joni, I want to talk about her because this is one of the great women I've ever read about. Two kids. You're well-respected in Libertyville.
Yep.
And then everybody starts looking at you differently. And then all of a sudden, you are sentenced to 46 months.
Yes.
And you go to prison in Leavenworth, Kansas.
And to Leavenworth. It wasn't...
you thought, this
wasn't
was
a country
no,
club.
This was no country club. You actually thought that you were going to die there of a heart attack or something, didn't you?
Yeah, up to that. I mean, I had, you know, on a couple of occasions, I had actually driven myself to the hospital because I thought this is it, and I have a long history of, on both sides of my family, with heart disease. A lot of the men died at an early age, and that was what my brother actually had, a mild heart attack, which drove him to think about leaving the business. So, things got ugly very quickly. And, you know, when you're named in an indictment like that, whether you've pled guilty or not, I had about $3.5 million worth of work on the street going on. And I was told to remove all my equipment instantly.
Well,
I was on
your business is gone. Your reputation is gone.
Oh, yeah.
And also you have to deal with the people staring at you and your wife and your kids.
Yeah.
And that. That kind of pain, I mean, I don't know you well, but that kind of pain I get from your book is probably, it was probably worse for you than going to prison.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was very embarrassing, you know, especially since we're still in the same house in Libertyville that Joni and I moved. We were married for maybe 6 months, and an opportunity came along, and we bought a 100-year-old farmhouse in downtown Libertyville, and we're still in it today. So, you know, we were well entrenched in the community, in our church. This was a shock.
What do you say? You do a marvelous job. And one of the cool things about the book, and again, it's called Pay to Play, My Odyssey from Multimillionaire Businessman to Prisoner Number, I'm not going to read your prisoner number, to Leavenworth Prison.
I know it by heart.
Yeah, I bet you do. I'll bet you do. You allow Joni to speak in her own voice in the book. I think that's a very effective thing, and she comes off as one of the, there's some interesting guys in prison with you, but she comes off as a remarkable woman. I don't want you to go, I'm sure you could go on for the next 5 hours about her, but she stuck with you.
Absolutely.
Tell me about, before we take a break, tell me about her, you met her in 1980, you fall in love.
Met her in a traffic accident.
I know. Then she comes to visit you at prison, and that part of the book is very moving because you're scared. You're scared to show emotion. You can't show emotion. There's some hard guys around you there.
Yeah, and that was one of the hardest things because. I put the burden on her. And there's nothing you can do from prison.
Yeah.
I mean, you're limited to, you know, 10 minutes a day on a telephone. So writing becomes your main way of communication.
And also, I mean, you couldn't even when you talked to her, you were afraid
Oh, you're being monitored and they tell you can't talk. If you've had a business like I did and you've been indicted on the charges I was, you're not allowed to talk business.
Yeah, I know.
So basically it was whispers during, you know, the visits that she
But also another very moving part was how you had to steel yourself to not cry because you couldn't allow any other prisoners to see that you were the kind of guy who cried. I mean, did you, before we take a short break, Michael Wicke, did you take notes when you were in prison? You have an amazing recall.
Yes, I did.
Did you? Okay, so I thought so. I thought how you couldn't possibly.
Oh, yeah. I started just taking notes from the.
Not with the idea of writing a book, but just to take notes.
Because I wanted to document what I was going through.
Wow. Well, you do that very effectively and very movingly in Pay to Play, my odyssey from multimillionaire businessman to Leavenworth, Kansas, and back again. we'll be right back. Mike Lewicki is here for 10 more minutes to talk about Pay to Play. I'm going to try to write about him. I'm going to try to get him into Printer's Row Lit Fest because his book is remarkable. I've read a lot of books about prison in my lifetime, and this is one of the most detailed and chilling. This is a great paragraph I found. And who knew? Cooking can be a great diversion for those imprisoned. Preparing meals reminiscent of one's home is therapeutic and can build camaraderie in a communal atmosphere, but can also cause great tension between rival crews. Now, how could you not keep reading that portion of the thing? The prison changed you forever, did it not? You met a lot of interesting characters in there. Including Shrek. Who was Shrek?
Shrek was a guy that looked like Shrek.
Every prison has.
Yeah, and he was a he was an interesting character. I met him probably my second or third night. He was definitely a bigot of sorts, and he quickly left because one day I came back from the original orientation that we had for all the newcomers.
Yeah.
And I came back to my dormitory, and there was all this commotion, and they said there's a fight in the washroom, and Shrek was in there shirtless. He had a tube sock with a master lock in the end of it, swinging it, going after another guy. And I realized, I mean, this was like my second day.
Yeah.
And I realized, hold it. What? Everybody kept calling this like Club Fed.
Yeah.
Going to Club Fed and play golf and swing in the head. I found out very quickly now.
What about Morris Stein? It's another interesting
Morris Stein was an interesting fellow that is from Chicago.
Yeah, I know.
And had a big time case that was on Dateline. And we became friends, but he was shipped out rather quickly, too, because he didn't learn how to. You know, the big thing that I learned and I was coached a little bit was that you want to keep a low profile.
Oh, yeah.
You want to keep a low profile. You don't stare at people. You don't ask questions. You just do your time.
Yeah.
And Morris couldn't keep his trap shut.
Yeah, he sounds like a character in it.
Yeah.
I want to read something and then have you comment on it because your writing is very good. Do you have any experience as a writer?
No, my mother, who's probably listening tonight, she would say, you know, I always knew you could be a writer because when I was
in
grade school.
You were right, Mom. You were right.
I always had quite an imagination.
And writing this book was not only a way to tell your story, it's also there's a therapy involved in this kind of, because it is in many ways a self-confession to your innermost feelings, right?
Yep.
Was it cleansing for you in any way?
It was cleansing. Yeah. It was cleansing, but at times.
It had to be hard.
My wife would come home from work and I'd be sitting at the table and I'd have like this bloating gut, you know, just because I'd be all pent
it's
up
hard
with
to
this
do.
Anxiety because I'd have to relive it. But I had to relive it and get into the characters and what I went through to make it come off the way it did.
Here is something. I'll give you a little sample of Mike Lewicki's writing in Pay to Play. The most important lesson I learned while being incarcerated is that it doesn't matter whether you dwell in a cave in Afghanistan, a hut in Burma, a mansion on the coast of Carmel, or a jail cell in Angola. It's your state of mind, how you relate to your situation and the people around you that can drag you down or set you free. Then you say, Mike, I'm shocked to admit it, but I often feel more confined in my new life than I did when I was in Leavenworth. How so?
Well, you know, it's if you just look at there's all these pressures in life. And what I learned was when I got to Leavenworth, anxiety is a different issue there. I mean, everything comes to a screeching halt. Time passes very slowly, so that it's more like you're dealing with, you know, anxiety the way man, like a Neanderthal, had to deal with it.
Sure.
You know, most of the time you're kind of cooling your heels and you're just chilling out, and suddenly a SWAT team comes in and they're ripping the place apart looking for drugs, and you go on high alert. And you're very anxious. You don't know what the heck's going to happen. You don't want to wind up getting taken into the hole. But as soon as they leave, everything kind of winds back down, and you're just doing your time. And after reentering into society again, yeah, there's times there's, you know, we don't realize that we live under this constant wrath of, you know, just driving down the highway these days can be quite an experience and get your blood pressure
going. Did you lose a lot of friends by this experience? No,
you know what? I was never like a real big, I mean, I've had friends.
Yeah, sure.
But I wasn't, I'm not a country club guy.
Yeah.
Family is the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
You know, I spent all my time with my family. In fact, I used to, one of the things that I said, even in the height of our business when we were going gangbusters and we were in three locations, I always said, I will not miss any of my kids' events. And it was my excuse to call it a day. Because
yeah.
My day began at 4:30 in the morning in the construction business. So, you know, if somebody had something going on at 4:30, a recital or whatever, I made sure that I showed up at all of that. So my family, I didn't lose friends. We've all gotten older. I'm 57 now,
yeah.
So everybody's got older kids.
Well, you went
into
jail.
Kids.
That's another interest. The other point to make is you went to jail in your late 40s.
Yeah.
Not a good time for anybody to go to prison, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
How did your wife is just one of the most remarkably loyal, loving people I've ever met in a book. Were your kids ever, you have two kids, a son and a daughter, were they ever resentful that they're like, hey, Dad, how did they react?
You know,
because they were at a relatively tender age. I mean, it wasn't like they were.
Megan hadn't graduated high school, and Sean was just getting ready to go into college.
Those are tough ages to have this kind of thing happen.
But they were pretty occupied. They never voiced it, and you know, and I was completely honest with them up as soon as this happened, and I was indicted, and I didn't even know what. When I got indicted, I knew it wasn't a good thing.
I didn't know if they
were coming to arrest me. And so, you know, after the lawyer explained to me that you'll be arraigned next week, you know, go home, you're fine.
Yeah, you do a good job of detailing that
and,
stuff.
And we sat the kids down, and I laid it out for them.
What did you say?
I basically said, look, I don't know exactly where this is going, but I can't cry innocent or victim.
Yeah.
Because I was the captain of the ship.
Yeah.
You know, so
and you're taking responsibility.
I'm on watch, you know.
Yeah,
and so we were honest with them through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And
how was your relationship when you were in? I don't remember, Mike. They didn't come visit you, or did they?
Yeah, they did.
They did. That's right. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. I remember so.
Yeah, they didn't get there
Joni
too
coming.
Often. Joni was a trooper.
No kidding.
She, you know, and she's not really good at like traveling by herself. So here she would like.
Well, you made her learn, didn't you? You made her learn how to travel by herself.
Yeah, and she flew here, got a rental car. She even said the rental people knew her by name.
Wow. That says, I think, a great deal about you. Do you feel that way too? That the loyalty. You know, I'm sure you're a cool guy. I'm sure you were a great husband. But this is the kind of tragic event that a lot of families can't work through.
Yeah. I have regrets. In fact, there's a chapter called.
Yes, it does.
But at the same time, you know, I wouldn't change anything.
That's interesting to hear.
My family's together. My wife and I are together. And that's the most important thing.
You're taking piano lessons.
Yeah. And I started piano in prison. I still play. And, you know, really what I want is I just hope people, we all go through adversities.
Sure.
This is just my story.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it sounds a little sensational going to prison and that.
Well, going to prison is kind of sensational.
Yeah.
I know it is.
But I mean, people, there's other people.
I know.
People get diseases and so
forth.
So I just hope it gives other people hope and can persevere through their own
obstacles. You pulled that off. You pulled that off. Mike Lewicki has written a book called Pay to Play. It is a story of his life, an odyssey from multimillionaire businessman to a prisoner in Leavenworth and back again. That's the other thing, and back again. You were back back into the world, as they say.
Glad to be here.
And Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, and I have no animosity towards, you know, the city. I love this city. This is where I was born.
Well, I hate the mayor, and I'll tell you that. I have some problems with this city. Mike, it's a pleasure to meet you. You're a fine writer.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
I really appreciate it.
I hope
to do more with you and this book, and thanks to our mutual friend, Betsy Shepherd, for introducing us. It's quite a story. It's quite a story, because I remember when it hit the papers, man. I remember when it hit the papers. Thank you for listening. Buy the book. It's called Pay to Play. Just Google Pay to Play. Mike Lewicki, Lewecki. Thank you so much for listening. Aubrey Mumpower, thanks for engineering. Lise Graham, thanks for producing. All of you, thanks for listening.